Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Jackie Berger, the executive director of Just Food, and you're listening to Just Food Stories, airing live at heritageradionetwork.org. If you miss the live broadcast, you can always find us archived on heritageradionetwork.org or as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Just Food is a nonprofit organization committed to helping people build community food projects. We know that people all over New York City know that we need to change our food system, and they want to help make that change, but so often people don't even know where to start. So we'd like to take the next half hour to introduce you to someone who's started taking her passion and skills to bring change. Hopefully her story will help inspire you to create your own Just Food stories. So I'm very excited to be able to spend the next half hour talking about an organization that is very near and dear to my heart and talking to a woman who I have just met. Her name is Heather Horgan, and she is the Markets and Outreach Coordinator at East New York Farms in East New York, Brooklyn. And if you haven't been there, then just put it on your calendar, and we're going to give you a ton of reasons why you need to go there. But East New York Farms is an intergenerational organization that looks to address food justice in East New York by promoting local, sustainable agriculture and community-led economic development. And there's a lot more to unpack about that and about Heather. So I want to thank you, Heather, so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So Heather, let's start with you. How did you meet East New York Farms?
Well, I actually met East New York Farms is a project of United Community Centers, mm-hmm. and I met East New York Farms in 2004 when I was a public ally with the Food Bank of New York City.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And so the first time I came out, I was running a program called Eat Wise that empowered young people and high school students to address their peers about food justice issues and changing the way that we eat. Mm-hmm. And so one thing, you know, I heard about East New York Farms, and we wanted to do a farm tour, and I took them out to go see the farm, and, well, I think I could say this now, we kind of got lost the first time.
On the way there, or once you got there?
Yeah.
On the way there?
On the way there.
Oh. Yeah. So it was you and a horde of teenagers kind of roaming the streets in East New York looking for a farm?
Yeah.
Which actually you could have gotten tripped up because there are so many big
gardens,
right?
Yeah. So, but, you know, we got there and we met, I believe his name was Jonah at the time. And mm-hmm. We got to see the fire pit. And, uh-huh. You know, and so, and oh, and then they showed me a picture of when I was there that time, and I was just like, wow, I've been involved for quite, you know, not involved, but that history there.
But you were involved, so so even before you met East New York Farms and started to get involved there, mm-hmm. you were a public ally. So how did you become interested in food justice work? What happened in your life, or how did you get turned on to these issues and start to then move your career and your life focus in that direction?
I would say that I'm concerned about the quality of life of all people in New York City, and especially marginalized communities. So, mm-hmm. The interconnectedness between either food justice or housing or safety on the streets, like whichever one it is it's they're connected to how we live and thrive in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And so being a part of Public Allies kind of opened up my my horizons when I got to be with the Food Bank of New York City. And also, I feel that with East New York Farms, you know, we get to address so many issues because, again, like, food is, you know, how everybody eats.
Right.
Or hopefully eats. Right. And, you know, we get to be this kind of, like, oasis in, you know, the urban landscape and bring, you know, people are happy when they come to East New York Farms. And so for me, being able to be a part of that and being able to make somebody happy and empowered is important.
So for you, it's this whole social justice and public well-being picture, and food justice is kind of one aspect of that. But it sounds like through your career, you're sort of just working on advancing those issues as part of the big picture.
Yeah. Originally, I was with an organization called Fierce, and we addressed like young queer people in New York City, and I think you know, specifically homeless young youth.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking again about marginalized communities, you know, and communities that are vulnerable and you know, food insecure, you know, homeless populations are that. And so it's, you know, so I think slowly for me is just like seeing, like, you know, homelessness issues, housing issues, food issues, is just, these are all like, these are all major parts of our lives and what, you know, a majority, you know, depending on what spectrum you're on, of our money goes to. And so when people aren't able to have access to those things, it's really important. It's really important to me that people have access across the board.
And I'm interested because you mentioned in your bio that as a queer woman of color, you're committed to civic service and to advancing quality of life. And I wanted to know if you could tell me more about how you feel being a queer woman informs you or compels you to do this work. What is it about? How do those things overlay for you?
One, as I said before, with queer, you know, or the LGBT community, you know, where they're highly vulnerable to homelessness and housing and, you know, or underemployment, you know, and just, you know, our bodies walking down the street. And so when I think about, you know, that in relation to being empowered, because, you know, East New York Farms works with adults and youth. And so, you know, just because we're working just on food doesn't mean that there's these other parts that are not very dear to our, you know, that are important to us.
Right.
So, you know, there are, you know, other queer people of color in, you know, the organization, and whether they're the gardeners or vendors or young people, whatever it is, like, I think that it's just like, you know, that we're a part of that story too.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're a part of food justice as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that we care about what we eat, how we eat, and who has access.
Yeah. So I see what you're saying. So let's talk a little bit more about East New York Farms and the work that you are doing. So the markets, you guys run a market. It is a beautiful and vibrant market, and everyone who's listening should go and see it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you and your work contribute or play into that market?
So with the farmers market, you know, of course, we're our first market is June 28th.
June 28th, from what time to what time?
from 9 to 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. And we are located at the Van Sickelen stop on New Lots and Skink. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have about 24 vendors. We have six farmers. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going to take a moment to my personal campaign, which is thank your farmer, because, you know, I get to know a lot of our gardeners and farmers, you know, there's a certain dedication mm-hmm. that maybe some people don't realize or understand. And, you know, I was talking to one of our gardeners, and, you know, she says that she gets up at, you know, 5 a.m. so that, you know, people in the community can have fresh, affordable food.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like that dedication is, you know, a lot of folks aren't, you know, most of our gardeners are not doing this because, like, it's a cash cow. Like, you know what
right.
I mean?
So, nobody gets rich selling, growing and selling vegetables.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Know, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's, I think, you know, that dedication is like, I don't know, my heart just like expands every yeah. single time.
So when you say you have six farmers at this 24 vendor market, mm-hmm. are they urban farmers or are they rural farmers, or is it a mix?
It's a mix.
It's a mix of urban and rural. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how many, so I just want to give a little bit more context for the mm-hmm. people who are listening. So the market that East New York Farms runs isn't part of like the Green Market network.
No.
It's an independent organization, like independent community run market.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find a whole list of independent community run markets on Just Food's website mm-hmm. also, including the East New York Farms, both link to both markets or information about both their markets, because they run it on two different days.
Wednesday as well, from 3:30 to 6:30.
Okay, so there's no excuse not to get there. And what's really exciting about these is that there are both urban gardeners and rural farmers who are growing for these markets. So tell me about, because East New York, I feel like one of the challenges you guys have faced running your market is that it's a little bit hard to get to for a farmer. So I think it's really great and a real strength of the market that you guys can grow some of the food right there in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit more about these gardeners who are growing for your market.
Mm-hmm. So we have like, there's like three tiers, right? Well, three or four.
Okay.
And so we have both our young people who are our youth program, where the interns learn to grow food and they work the East New York Farms farm.
Right. So East New York Farms runs an amazing youth development program. I just don't want you to sell it short. They do incredible work, not just like engaging the young people from the community in urban agriculture, which all by itself is an awesome thing, but then really focusing on the development of those youth as mm-hmm. leaders, as advocates, as educators. The work you guys are doing in the community is really outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
So at what age are the youth that are involved in the program?
13 to 18.
You're really starting with young people.
Yeah.
And so how many youth are you guys engaging like over the course of the season?
We have 33 interns, and you know, they're each extremely passionate about you know, either the farm work or the economic development side, or you know, the food justice side.
Because it's a competitive process. Like, not anybody can walk in the door and become an East New York Farms intern. What is the pressure to get in? Like, how many applicants do you guys generally have for those 33? Sounds like
120.
That's, oh my gosh. So there's like, it's really, really hard to get into the internship program.
Yeah.
So you guys are really getting outstanding and super dedicated young people.
Yeah.
And are they all from the East New York Farms neighborhood?
They're all from, they are,
I mean,
all
from East New York.
Yeah, they're from, yeah, they're all from East New York.
I just rebranded the neighborhood. Sorry, East New York.
District.
So, we're going to come right back. We need to take a short break,
okay.
But stay with us. We're going to be right back on Just Food Stories on heritageradionetwork.org.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Iggy Dean. This song's called Lung. Stay tuned for more from Just Food Stories. Program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards and Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Hi, welcome back. This is Jackie on Just Food Stories at heritageradionetwork.org. And I'm here with Heather Horgan, who is from East New York Farms. And we're talking all about the youth development program and farmers market. We're I want to talk more about the program. We were talking about the tiers. You were mm-hmm. telling me about the tiers, about who are the urban farmers and urban gardeners who are contributing to that market. Because mm-hmm. that is the most locally grown you can get. These
yeah.
are folks who are growing it right down the road and then picking it that morning and bringing it to the market. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about the youth development program, but then what are the other tiers?
So we have, I would say our more urban farmers that, they're producers, you mm-hmm. know, like they grow a lot of food for the community and they sell in the, at our farmers market.
So I know that there are you guys work with a large group, a very active group of community gardeners,
mm-hmm.
but who are the urban farmers? How many of them are there? And what is the distinction to you guys?
I would say that we have about, in terms of active, like maybe four, five. And then, you know, there's some that, you know, come in and out every other year. And, you know, our urban farmers, just in terms, you know, they're leaders because they're not only just growing their food and selling, they're assisting other gardeners and mm. becoming leaders in the community and growing more food and troubleshooting. So usually in their gardens, they're leaders and they're helping the other farmers or other gardeners.
How much space do they have? How are they able to be big enough producers in these urban gardens that they produce enough that they can sell?
It's usually a lot, you know what I mean? Like a street lot.
Oh, they have like access to some of these urban farmers have a whole lot?
Like a garden, like a like a community garden, and that's where they grow. But either way, like in terms of like how much they're producing in the space, because there's usually other people there, so mm-hmm. How much they're producing right. in the space that they have is just, you know.
So they're growing at a plot within a community garden.
Yes. Yeah.
They're just working that plot in a really serious way.
Or plots.
Oh, okay.
Every year, like, our gardeners want more. They're like, can I get, like, two extra plots? So this is, and it's exciting for them, you know, to want to grow more and more and more and have that be at our market and you know, that energy there. So.
And are they contributing, like, is there anything special about the way that they're growing? Do they sort of, like, have an agreement between them that, like, okay, I'm going to grow this crop and you grow that crop? Or are they all growing a whole variety of crops? How does that work?
Well, they grow a variety. Mm-hmm. And I think each person has their specialty or, you know what they like growing. Mm-hmm. I know tomatoes is abundant. Uh-huh. you know, definitely we have some specialty crops such as like kalaloo and bitter melon. And so those are kind of in our peppers.
Can you describe a bitter melon? Because I feel like that's something that like people might never even have heard of.
Okay, so we're going to have a bitter melon festival, so definitely sign up.
Stop it!
Yeah, we had one last year. It was so good.
When is the bitter melon festival, or has the date not?
It's not locked in yet.
Okay. So is it when are bitter melons ripe?
Pretty much like from June, like July on.
Okay.
It's like late July, August.
Okay. So sometime by the early July, we should start looking for that festival date.
Yeah. And our last one was in September. And it was, you know, we had different, because so many people see it and they're like, I don't know what that is. I'm not touching it. Or, you know
right.
what I mean?
What does it look like? Tell people.
So bitter melon kind of looks like a really like bumpy cucumber, I would say.
Yeah, okay, that's good. It's like a light skin bumpy
cucumber. It comes in like a couple of different shades. Mm-hmm. And you can either have a light, it has a smooth one, which has a more mellow flavor, or a prickly one, which I think is really fun.
It sounds dangerous.
And that one is, you know, that one it maybe has a little bit more of a bite.
Uh-huh.
And it's exactly what the name is. It's a bitter gourd, and then it has like really bright red seeds in the pod.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, how we, you know, so we have a festival. We show people how to properly kind of prepare bitter melon. It's been, you know, put out on the internet as like being like, you know, great for diabetes, and a lot of people use the leaves as well for to make teas.
Oh, I had no idea that you could use the leaves.
Yeah, it has a slightly medicinal purpose, but disclaimer, I'm not a nutritionist.
Not an expert, but heard
what I heard.
So, do you enjoy eating bitter melon?
I actually do.
Okay.
I have a stock in my house, like the tea leaves.
Uh-huh.
You know, I drink that every once in a while, and then I didn't get into it until one of our interns' parents made the dish for our festival.
What did they make? How did they prepare it?
It was like with turmeric. Uh-huh. It was like turmeric, and I think they put shrimp in it, and it was just like kind of like a light stir fry with like vegetables, and it was, they just, you knew they knew what they were doing, so it was just like, it just tasted really, really good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I would definitely, when people have you know, the chance to definitely come to our bitter melon festival.
I mean, come on, where else can you go for a bitter? So bitter, what I think is really interesting is that people in East New York, it's a very diverse community, mm-hmm. and so people are growing different kinds of, you know, they're meeting a demand for a diverse cultural palate.
Yes,
I probably made that too complicated, but
no.
But where, like culturally, who claims bitter melon as their kind of cultural food or as part of their cultural cuisine?
Well, I know that it originated in, I know that a lot of Chinese dishes have bitter melon mm-hmm. in them. We have a large, Caribbean and Bangladeshi community. And mm-hmm. so, both communities enjoy,
Oh, so you can enjoy bitter melon in lots of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have to bring you back to talk about this bitter melon festival, or at least make sure that our listeners know when it's coming up.
Okay.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah.
We never got to the third tier.
Okay. Yeah. So we have our urban growers, and then we have kind of like our gardeners, our backyard gardeners are, you know, people that are maybe more at like a, you know, smaller scale specialty, you know, so like they may not be producing like a variety, but maybe they love gardening and they produce tomatoes or Swiss chard. My contribution is Swiss chard, so I'm...
okay.
I love Swiss chard.
So you don't just work there, you also grow for...
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, okay, cool.
It's extremely satisfying to, like, be able to grow and people be able to eat it.
So to recap, you have the youth who are growing as part of the Eastern Reforms program, and they're growing, and then you guys are in a market stand?
Yes, Eastern Reforms has a youth market or stand that the young people run themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
which is such a great opportunity.
I have to give a shout out to my intern.
Please, hear it.
My interns Helen and Isaiah, they are amazing, and they're going to be running our farmers market this summer. So,
how long have they been involved in East New York Farms?
They're both returning interns, so roughly like two, three years.
Okay, and are they excited that they're going to be taking on those market manager positions?
They're ready to go. They're like, the summer couldn't happen fast enough.
it's such a great opportunity because they're learning customer service. They have the pride of selling something that they've grown. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so much to love about this program.
Mm-hmm.
So is there like a training program that ramps them up for the market season, or are they already good to go?
Well, they've been through the process. So what it is like, not, you know, since they've been through the process, now they assist in kind of preparing the first year interns to...
Okay. So they're already mentors.
Yes.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So there's the youth, and the youth run part of the market. Then there's a bunch of community gardeners, and do they kind of just pool what they grow?
We have what's called a share table, and community gardeners can, you know, bring what they have there, and sell it, and at affordable prices.
Mm-hmm. And then the third tier is those like larger urban farmers,
yes.
And they each run their own stand.
Yes, usually they produce so much that they run their own stand.
And do they have like a commitment where they come back week after week?
Yes,
or?
They're there every Saturday.
What? How cool!
Yeah,
that's just so great.
One of and I think, you know, one of the awesome things about farmers market is, you know, having that connection. And so, you know, one of the gardeners, you know, was explaining to me about how there was this tomato, and she said it's called an ox blood tomato, or an ox heart tomato, excuse
mm-hmm.
me.
That's a really evocative name for a tomato.
I know. Uh-huh. And it kind of looks like a heart. And
yeah.
And so she was telling me how, like, you know, her mom used to grow this type of tomato, and like how she brought it back with her, and like how, you know, she cared for it and, you know, really grew it here and to share with people in the community. And then when I mentioned that one time, you know, another woman was like, yeah, I remember those, like, in the Caribbean and stuff like that. So it was, you know, it's just having those types of unique connections that you won't get at, like, a grocery store.
No, gosh, no.
You know, and, you know, the connections with, you know, with the food and the people, it's just like, you know.
I think that is a beautiful way to summarize. And unfortunately, we're out of time, but that is, I think, a great place to stop. So, Heather, I want to thank you so much for coming into the studio today. It's so good to have you here. And I also want to thank Joe Galarraga for engineering today's show. You can always find archived episodes of Just Food Stories on heritageradionetwork.org and as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And remember, if you have any questions for the program, you can call in live at 718-497-2128 or email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. See you next week, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.
thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.